This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, December 24th. Well, it'll be a short day today, short trading session, likely pretty uneventful. It's not going to have a lot of volume, and pretty much all week has not had much volume, which is typical this time of year. But at the same time, if you get something that comes out of left field or a big news event, it can really push the markets around. And we've kind of seen that in soybeans. It's not so much a surprise event, but it is the consistent dryness that we see in South America during the critical point of the growing season that has just underpinned the soybean and the corn market for that matter, continuing to push it just consistently higher. That's dragging wheat along with it, and along with wheat's own positive fundamentals that have developed over the last few weeks. So we don't see a lot of negativity in the market. There's not a lot of bearish news around. We might see a correction after the first of the year. Next week will be even lower volume, but the dryness is not going to go away in South America, and that I think will continue to underpin corn and soybeans right up until the end of the year. After that, when traders get back to their desk and you get more volume in the market, they may try to push that down if there's any hint of improving rain or improving weather in South America. If there isn't, if we're still looking at La Nina being well entrenched, continuing to push dry conditions across most of Argentina and now coming back to northern Brazil, then I think the traders will step on the gas and we're going to see an acceleration of soybeans in particular to the upside, but the corn will be right behind it, and that will pull wheat higher. And I think Chicago will be the leader. So while I'm still committed to the spread with KC versus Chicago, that eventually KC will regain its premium over Chicago and probably likely by the harvest of this next crop, the crop that's already in the ground and is already suffering. We still have to be mindful that a push higher, a weather market in corn and soybeans, which pushes those two markets higher, will pull Chicago wheat higher as well, and it will outperform Kansas City. So basically, the next 4 or 5 weeks will tell us where we're at with that. I don't see Kansas City really gaining a whole lot against Chicago in that time frame if you don't get any weather market developing in corn and beans. We're still dormant across the northern hemisphere. Even if you have poor weather, it's just not going to be a major mover. But I think as you get into spring and you start breaking dormancy, then it becomes a much different picture. So we're just waiting, we're keeping our powder dry, waiting until we get past the pollination and the critical phases of corn and beans in South America to see if we get a push upward because of dry conditions. And we don't want to be on the wrong side of a spread that could really skew us. If Chicago does have a big run against KC because of drought in South America, then obviously that just sets us up for a much better position with that spread. So that said, let's get back to the fundamentals in wheat. We all know that the dryness in the southern plains of the United States has been consistent since midsummer, early summer. We planted a lot of that wheat into dry conditions, and the western half of the southern plains is still in a dry state. Eastern half has had a fair amount of rain, which they typically do, so it's not that much of an issue in the eastern half. So we also know that Russia, despite planting record acres of wheat, they've dusted most of them in, especially in the southern region, which is where their exportable supplies typically come from. They had a short crop this year in that region. The rest of Russia had very good crops, and in fact, the latest crop estimate from the private guys coming out of Russia has them producing 85.9, which is basically 86 million tons of wheat, which is basically equals the record production that they had here about 3 years ago. So even despite record wheat production in Russia, prices are at all-time highs. Flour and feed grain prices are at all-time highs, which is why the government imposed a $30 a ton export tax starting in mid-February. At this point, Russian exporters basically have shut off any offers, because by the time that they would be loading that wheat, first of all, they have to originate it from the interior of Russia, because southern Russia either A, doesn't have any left, or B, farmers simply are not selling. So they've got to originate it from much further inland than they normally would. It's going to cost them more. It takes more time. They've already got railroad logistics problems with a lot of wheat that they've already got committed, clogging up the transportation routes. So they're just not even going to try. At the same time, the government has been slow walking the export certificates, even for the sales and the exports that would go out before the tax. So the Russian exporters have just shut down. So basically, world price now will come back up to where the Russian price is with that $30 tax. In other words, we're just going to see all world prices elevate to that level. And that equates to about 81 cents a bushel. So obviously, this is a very bullish development. It'll take time for that to develop. We're going to see a drop of probably around 4 million tons of wheat from Russia, below what they were projected to export. So the question is then, with world demand clearly on an upswing, I don't see demand really backing away. So where are those supplies going to come from? You typically would look to Europe. Well, they had a short crop this year, and their prices have been elevated throughout the fall and winter. So that brings us back to the United States and Canada for the other major exporters in the Northern Hemisphere. Argentina, of course, and Australia in the Southern Hemisphere are currently exporting their crop that they just harvested. Australia had, as we know, the second largest crop on record. They're pretty much the ones that have been keeping wheat prices in check. Their prices bottomed in early December and now are starting to ratchet higher. In Argentina, the top end of their production got shaved off from late dry conditions, so they don't expect to have a major export program to the broader market other than their commitments to Brazil. So we should be seeing some tapering off of pressure from Australia over this next month or so. I would expect the first couple of weeks of January to see quite a flush of farmer selling, which we typically do here in the United States, just primarily for tax reasons. But beyond that, then I think we're going to start working our way higher. So look for some initial pressure early January, then work our way higher in early February. Normally we get a February break from about Feb 10 to the third or fourth week of February. I wouldn't be surprised to see that really not amount to much. The demand is there, stocks are tight, and the prospect of production problems here in the United States and in Russia are pretty high, especially with the dry conditions that it was seeded in, poor establishment, La Nina still very much in effect, and typically would cast a dry type of weather pattern as you get into the spring for the Southern Plains. I don't see farmers being really aggressive at wheat sales until they get at least a couple good rains under their belt and start to let go of some old crop. So we're in a bullish mode here for quite a while. Through the summer and fall have been pretty much in a sideways pattern for wheat. There was a lot of demand for feed grains, great deal of demand for oil seeds, and now with wheat, huge demand for wheat that has been around, a lot of feed grain demand has brought wheat into the feed channel. Russia just consistently had high prices for their food in general, but obviously the grains, and it just didn't make sense considering that they had a near record crop, and their crops kept getting better as the season went on. But it was Southern Russia where the crux of production is to set world price. They pretty much had a disaster year, and they're not set up very well for a good year next year either. So we look for prices to be well supported on any breaks we get. I think that we'll continue to ratchet our way higher into the spring for a couple reasons. Number one, the dryness as we head into spring, but also just to protect the acres that are there. Any marginal acres are likely going to get pulled out and go to sorghum in the Southern Plains or corn or soybeans as you get remotely into the central part of the plains. Corn and soybeans look very well supported, even better than wheat. We're looking at consistently declining production in Brazil and Argentina, and massive demand from China in particular, and very little competition from Europe. So there's just, all of these things lining up for a very solid uptrending market for the row crops, and that supports wheat. As we get into the spring, it supports protecting those acres. We don't necessarily need to buy more spring wheat acres unless you really get a disaster going, but there is a push to buy soybean acres, and that's more easily convertible as you get into wheat country than it is for corn, just simply because it's more drought tolerant, and that would be, I think, more of a push to pull those acres out of winter wheat, again, if they're marginal, and put them into soybeans. So at the same time, we're also looking at the likely increase of soft red plantings in the Midwest, and they'll double crop that with soybeans. So there are reasons to think that we'll have plenty of soft red wheat, but the idea that we would have plenty of hard red wheat, I think, is a really tough argument to make. We're already in a declining production standpoint from last year. Acres were at all-time lows last year. I don't see that improving this year. And you've got Russia, which is a hard red winter wheat producer, already basically shutting off their exports. So this, and looking at a rough start to next year as well. So this is why I look for Kansas City to be the leader in the wheat complex on the upside as you get into the spring. I think, though, and again, I just want to reiterate the danger that lurks over these next 4 weeks as we work through a weather market in South America could pull Chicago higher first. The other thing we want to look at, of course, are exports. The sales report came out yesterday. Wheat sales at 417,000 tons. That was right in the middle of the range of estimates. Hard red winter wheat, 172,000 tons. Soft red, 91,000. Spring wheat, 77,000. White wheat, 79,000. So no big sales that jumped off the books there, jumped off the page there. Year-to-date, wheat sales sit at 20.2 million tons. That's up 8% over last year, and we're right on track to meet USDA's projections. Corn sales, 651,000 tons, was at the low end of the range of estimates, and soybeans at 518,000. That was below the low end of the range of estimates, but we still saw China take 526,000 sales, but they canceled 791,000. That's what gives us China buying more than the actual net sales. So we are seeing some cancellations, but China still is an active buyer. And I think there's been a fair amount of switching of sales from Brazil and Argentina over to the United States. And the longer the weather market continues in South America, the more you're going to see that. And it's going to push corn sales to the United States, because this is pushing back. Not only the soybean plantings got pushed back and delaying harvest, but it's also going to push back the second crop, Safrina corn crop, and that's going to push more demand. It's going to take harvest way later into the summer than normal, so that's going to bring demand back to the United States. So, this just falls on top of declining stocks here in the U.S., where soybean stocks are already at very tight levels. We don't really have room to export more, and yet we're still seeing USDA's export projections in soybeans be below where our current sales would suggest they should be. So we would expect USDA to increase export sales for corn and soybeans in particular, even though over these next couple supply-demand reports, which would just further tighten stocks for those two crops on top of a weather market that's pretty well entrenched in South America. So there's a lot of bullishness going on in the grain space. Wheat has its own very solid set of bullish fundamentals, and I think it's just going to get more and more powerful as we work our way into the spring and we see less of an impact from Australia, and it more focuses on remaining old crop stocks and the absence of Russia, which is a huge development, and the likelihood of at least weather-induced price action to the upside in early spring, unless the rains just turn on as the crop is breaking dormancy, because you're going to need good rain right as it breaks dormancy. And we're looking at mid-February to mid-March in the United States and about mid-March to early April in Russia for those time windows. So that's where I'm at. Again, look for a quiet day. We're going to close about an hour early. Look for a quiet week next week. But I think once we get into January, things are really going to get active. And it's going to be focused on the weather in South America and the absence of Russia from the wheat market. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. You can call me at 1-800-888-9843.